I need to take a bathroom. Blog Talk Radio. Did I say that on the air? Oops. That's right, ladies and gentlemen. We are back. We are back indeed. Welcome to another crazy Monday night edition of the Absolute Truth Show, right here on Blog Talk Radio. I am your host, with the most, the king of king himself, that throw parties of all parties. Ladies and gentlemen, I am the Hot Rod. And on the phone line, I have the one, the only, the maniac himself.
Woo! That is me, Sean Black, in the building once again. And of course, on the other line, we have the one and only, crickets.
The crickets again.
Yeah.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, unfortunately, Anisha had a family emergency the other night, so she won't be able to join the show. But our thoughts and prayers are with her and her family. And we hope we come back very soon. Because
yes.
Sean Black missed, not me, I don't miss your story, crazy to be high. But.
Yeah, we're thinking of you, and we got your back, so. Take it whatever time you need, and we'll hold on for you here.
Yes, indeed. So, ladies and gentlemen, if you want to call in your thoughts, comments, or questions, or... excuse me, I have a little bit of a cold.
Thoughts, comments, and... Oh, my lungs.
I'm dying over here.
Oh, man.
Crazy weekend that we had. The number is 347-989-8402. The number once again is 347-989-8402. Today it will be a short show because for various reasons, but we still want to do what we do best. And Sean Black, what is that?
Pissing people off.
Yes, indeed. Okay, the first topic. Last week, President Obama made a big announcement about gun control laws. Sean Black, in a brief description. Excuse me, description. Wow, I need a break.
That's an oxymoron, right?
Gosh damn it. I'm sorry, ladies and gentlemen. Sean Black, what the hell Obama said last week?
Oh, boy, yes. Last Tuesday, President Obama basically is on the heels of all of the gun violence that we've had. He made a speech that was probably one of those things that you can say it's again, another one, again. He is using his executive order, his power as president of the United States, as the commander in chief. He's using his executive power to try to implement much more stringent gun control laws. He had a heartfelt speech that was opened up by Mark Barden, whose son was killed during Sandy Hook, the 2012 massacre of children that. Even to this day, is like a black eye in United States history, mostly because of all of the lax gun laws. And he is basically, I think the more poignant part of that whole entire press conference that he did, which was well over an hour, almost an hour and a half, was that every time I think about those kids, it makes me mad. And the president, as you could see, was openly weeping or holding back tears as much as he could, but he couldn't hold them back.
So he is human after all.
Yes, he was really emotional. He tried to hold it back. He tried to hold it in, but he just couldn't. And he just had tears coming down his eyes. He had to pause a couple times to collect himself. And he kind of banged the podium, said, "It just makes me mad." Now, one of the other things that he's going to do effectively is going to expand on background checks for buyers. It's going to clarify that individuals in the business of selling firearms register as licensed gun dealers, effectively narrowing those loopholes that we keep hearing about, which exempts most small sellers from keeping formal sales records. So now you're going to have the people that are selling the guns, they have to have a viable license to be able to sell them. Then they're going to be extra background checks on other people that are going to try and purchase these guns. And there's probably going to be a lot of heavy penalties if you get busted trying to sell these guns without all of that in place. We as a country are gun nuts. We know everybody's buying guns. Everybody loves to have a gun. for various reasons. Some people are collectors. Some people are hunters. Some people just protection-wise. Some people are police officers, were in the service, and they continue to hold guns because of those reasons and maybe others personal or not. What the issue is that we're seeing, as we continue to talk about this hot topic all the time, is the fact that all of these guns end up on the streets in the wrong hands, and I'm not talking about just regular handguns. We're talking about AR-47s and Desert Eagles and automatic pistols and those kind of guns that you would see in wars. We're seeing in the street, and the street has now become the war zone, and that's the problem that has to be rectified, because we're hearing way too often of too many people, innocent people, being killed. But just heard, for those that are not in the New York City tri-state area, we had something that happened just a couple days ago of a seven-year-old who was killed in her apartment, in her house, because somebody was shooting over the supposed theft of a hoverboard. So this person decided to go and shoot at the house, shot the wrong person, and killed a seven-year-old child. These are the kinds of instances that we hear on a regular basis, the innocent children, the elderly, who are getting killed because of this obsession with guns. They're too prevalent, and it's too easy for people that are, you know, mentally disabled, people that are overly aggressive, people that are in gangs, people that have easy access to these guns. This has to change, and that's why the president continues to do this. And bring it to a point, because this is not normal. It's not supposed to be normal.
It's not normal, but like I said earlier, people are obsessed with guns, which I'm a victim. I love guns, but I don't have one. But when people have guns, most of them, especially in the city area where guns are illegal in New York, are not properly trained how to use a gun. So when people use a gun, they just shoot anywhere. And it goes crazy because some people don't know. Some people try to think they like they're from the movies. Well, you know, you see the other movies how they carry guns with one hand, shooting up in the air, hitting their targets.
Mm-hmm.
People on the streets, because you're scared, you can't. Guns give you power, but they give you fear at the same time.
Exactly. And the problem is that it's this over glorification of the gun in this country, in this society, and we've had this mystification of it in the eyes of the media for well over 100 years. Cowboys and Indians and seeing the OK Corral, the big shootouts, and then, of course, like movies like Die Hard and the movies of those nature and TV shows that glorify that, where there are lots of guns and cop shows, and those things are regular. The problem is it's way too prevalent. In our society, compared to any other society, you don't hear about mass murders and shootings and killings on a grand scale in other civilized nations as often and as prevalent as you hear in the United States of America. And that is what President Obama has been talking about. The other key point that he brought up is that he's tired of having his words twisted and misconstrued as though he's trying to take everybody's guns. Because as we all know, anything he says, the Republicans are going to completely shoot down and disavow. So he basically made that in his statement. He made a point to bring that up in saying, I believe in the Second Amendment where they're written on paper, which guarantees the right to bear arms. No matter how many times people try to twist my words around, I taught constitutional law. I know a little about this. But I also believe that we can find ways to reduce gun violence consistent with the Second Amendment, end quote. That's his quote that he said during the press conference. He never said anything about changing the Second Amendment law. I wouldn't be surprised if he might have owned a gun at some point, or maybe does own a gun. I'm not sure. I don't know.
Or fire a gun at some point.
Exactly. So in all of the stuff that we hear about, all he is doing is talking about making this country safer by putting guns in the hands of the responsible, because having a gun is a huge responsibility. You have to take care of it. You have to make sure you do your due diligence in getting that gun license and keeping it renewed, making sure if you're going to use it to be able to practice it at a reputable gun targeting area, you train the right way, you know how to clean the gun, all of those things. It's a big responsibility. And that's all he's doing. But he keeps getting resistance from the gun lobby, i.e. the NRA, and also from the Republicans, who anything Obama says, he can say the sky is blue, and then the Republicans will say, well, though I don't believe the president is correct. I think he needs to get his eyes checked. It's clearly not blue. It happens, and this is the problem.
So, Will, do you think, was he right to go by Congress and start this new law?
And he has to. I think, you know what, as far as being right, I'm not sure if the idea of being right or wrong even applies in this particular situation. I think it's more or less something of desperation. I think the president of the United States, among millions and millions of people, we have well over 300 million people in the United States, and I think the majority of people are sick and tired of not knowing whether a loved one is going to walk outside the door and go to work, go to school, go wherever, and come home in a body bag because somebody outside decided to shoot a gun in the air for some frivolous reason, or went to a party, got drunk, got into a fight and shot someone, or somebody decided to do something really dumb, like getting in a parent's house and taking their gun out into the street and shooting it and killing a friend or killing the babysitter or something, because there's way too many stories about that happening. Now, as far as getting it correct, he has to go through Congress. The problem is the Republicans have the majority voice in Congress. So any law that he probably tries to get pushed is either going to be filibustered or just dropped altogether and won't get approved. It's going to have to come with the next president, whoever that is. And they're going to have to work with Congress to get some things going, because our current president only has a little over 11 months before he's out on a permanent basis. So that has to be at the doorstep of the next president.
Okay, so what's classified as someone with mental illness to buy a gun, to force that person not to buy a gun?
And that's the problem. You have to figure out what you – because there are people that have mental illness that function as well as quote-unquote normal people. You know, you or I or anybody else that doesn't have a mental illness, but somebody that may have a mental illness, let's say bipolar disorder, or maybe have Down syndrome, or might have some other – a learning disability or an anger problem that is a chemical imbalance that would actually be a strike against someone if you think about them trying to buy or purchase some sort of weapon. And I think that's where we have to get more money in to finding out how to get these things working and get them in the right direction. And that's the issue. And the country seems to be a little bit up for this, because they've done polls where a majority of people that are listening to the attention of what's going on, they're taking the temperatures, as they say, of the country. There was a poll that CNN did. Now, 48% of Americans actually are in favor of stricter gun laws, while 51% are opposed. As far as stricter laws, they're actually less than half than they were in 2013. And as you would imagine, Democrats, 74%, are in favor of stricter gun laws, while Republicans are 23% in favor of stricter gun laws. So it's a huge it's a chasm, depending on what side of the fence you're on. I think that things have to be done. Things have to be implemented. People that are far smarter than I or you will have to decide that. The problem is, are they going to get the support that they need? And that's where people need to vote, and that's the more important thing about that, because you got to find out what they're running for, and are they going to be able to help get certain things done? Because it's been apparent that a lot of the people that are in office now aren't getting anything done at all.
Talk about guns. There was an incident that happened in Philadelphia where a cop was shot 3 times in a car by a wannabe ISIS terrorist guy?
Yeah.
This gentleman in Philadelphia walked up to a police car and shot 3 times. Luckily, the cop is still survived, but the cop was able to get out the car and chase after the guy. Now, how can someone like that get, number one, got a gun? God forbid he had no history of mental illness or red flag. But now he tried to praise ISIS. So basically, this is a new attack. He's attacking a police officer. They try to do a copycat from California. What is going on, Sean?
I have no idea. And the sad part about it is this isn't a trend, because this is only the second time I've heard this. But if this is going to be the new trend now, where police officers now have to watch their back because they don't know whether somebody is just going to, you know, we heard about what happened to the police officers in New York a little over a year ago, Wenjin Liu, and his partner. They were killed over in Brooklyn, New York. Somebody just ran up from Baltimore, came all the way from Baltimore to New York, and shot these two men in their patrol car. This is starting to become a little more of a trend, from the sense that you never used to hear about this before. We're getting more and more brazen people out there going after cops. Now, the slant on this story is, like you just stated, this guy's name is Edward Archer, 30 years old. He basically proclaimed his allegiance to ISIS, and he said he went and shot after the officer in the name of ISIS. Now, this is the problem with this whole deal. From what I read, he's actually part of some kind of like a group. There's like three other men involved with this group, and they're all, I don't know if they're radicalized. I'm not sure if they just sympathize with the whole ISIS movement. Whatever is the case, this Edward Archer is, I believe they arrested him not that far afterwards, because like you said, the cop was able to get out of the car and chase this guy down. I don't know how you do that when you get shot three times. I think he got shot in the shoulder. Luckily for him, we're not talking about another dead cop, but the officer, and we have to make sure we get his name right, Officer Jesse Hartnett. He's the guy that was shot at, and he definitely put his life on the line, as he normally does as a police officer. Now you have to deal with people that are just coming out of the woodworks and killing cops now and proclaiming their need for ISIS or whatever is the case. I don't know what's going on with society, where there are a lot of people, whether we don't know if they've been raised Muslim, I don't know if they're African-American or whatever their race or creed is prior to these kinds of things happening, but there is a small section in this country that have gone around, and for whatever the reason is, maybe they were bullied when they were younger, maybe they got screwed over from a job, maybe they don't agree with the things that are happening with the United States, the policies that are out there, but we're seeing more and more disgruntled people just going out on a rampage and doing whatever they want.
But someone got to take action, right? Look at Oregon. People, they took over a federal building, right, with guns. Mm-hmm. Now you get mad at the government, you go kill cops. Or maybe they're sick tired of the way cops abuse people or the cop killing towards minorities. Maybe something about the social media had influenced people to go out there and just go buck wild.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm not excuses for them, but I don't see that as an example, because in a way, as you said stated before, people are just tired. Oh, what's going on in this world? For us to be talking about different stories every week, but something, it all has some type of similarities to them, whether it's racism or gun control or something.
Exactly.
People are tired. So that could lead to mental illness. Maybe it would lead people to go crazy and lose it.
Yeah. The thing that we've heard about are people that get PTSD, which is post-traumatic stress disorder, and a lot of that happens when you used to hear about that more on the news from people that came from fighting overseas. Maybe they had a leg blown off, or they saw a best friend killed in the line of fire, and then you see them go through all kinds of the stress and that. And we hear now a lot of pregnant women that have had children go through PTSD. Now, that's one of those things that we have to see. We don't know what happened in this man's life, this Edward Archer that is being held by the police now in Philadelphia. We don't know what he went through prior. We don't know how his mind was able to levitate toward the whole ISIS angle, or even if this is a legitimate thing where this could be used as some kind of, you know, an excuse. Like way back in the day when we used to hear about people that you would hear teenagers that would try and kill people or try to carjack somebody, and then they would blame it on Grand Theft Auto. Remember that argument that they used to have back in the day? It's like, oh, well, I saw it on TV, or I saw it in a video game. I thought it was okay to do. Now everything is ISIS. ISIS, we're blaming it on a terrorist group. We have to find out what the common core issue is and try to work on getting that taken care of, or we're going to have more and more of these little blow-ups come up, and they're going to become much more problematic, because it's not going to stop at just one cop getting shot. You're going to hear about multiple police officers and some kind of craziness, or something is going to happen. Something big would happen, and it's like you can almost see it coming, because these things are starting to get more and more intense. You're seeing a lot more pain and a lot more strife happening within the communities in this country, and you're starting to see little pockets of things pop up here and there. And I don't know if how you're going to be able to stop it. That's the sad part.
Well, I'm sorry to say you cannot stop it. It will continue for on and on. We go try to maintain it to have itself 10 killings, 7 killings, but the way this world's going crazy right now, I doubt it will slow down anytime soon, especially when people are going to love guns more and more every day.
Yeah.
For that, but that's like, I had a little bit of an argument with my cousin for Christmas. You know, they bought their sons Nerf toys. No, the Nerf gun. I'm like, I love guns. Is it appropriate now to buy kids toy guns? I'm like, you've made them more to love guns even more. I'm like, yes, Nerf is simply nothing. It's just a simple toy. You can still get pop in the eye, but would that possess my cousin to love guns even more? To when he grow up, go get a gun for whatever reason?
I'm not sure.
The toy gun should be banned completely now.
We're in a society now that loves the fact that there are guns out there. We live in a society where, look, you've got movies that are out there that glorify guns. You've had cartoons, you've had movies, you've got comic books, there's a lot of violence, video games, the things that are out there that actually glorify its use, but it detaches people from the actual consequence of firing the gun or using the gun. Like you said, you like guns. I like guns as far as looking at them on TV. I've never fired a real gun. I have no want to. I don't need to. That's just me. But there are people out there that love these guns. And based on what we see nowadays, especially after what happened with Tamir Rice being unfortunately killed by a police officer that thought the gun that he had in his hand was real, which is questionable for a lot of people in this country, these kinds of things lead to what's happening now. And that's something that my mother and my grandmother, when I was younger, they refused. I had a couple of water guns. That doesn't really count, especially since they looked like water guns, you know, see-through, they were green, you know, they looked cheap and plasticky, something like that. But even still, my mother and my grandmother were diametrically opposed to me having a gun because of the reasons that you just stated. They were afraid a cop might think it was a real gun and I might get killed or might get shot, or somebody might think it's a real gun and you don't know what's going to happen. This is the society we live in now. I'm not sure if we're going to ever see a change when it comes to that. And it's going to be one of those things where as society goes along, we're going to need to find out how on earth we're going to fix this problem and work on it the way it should be. hopefully you're still there, because I can't hear you. Are you still there? Yeah, Hot Rod, you still there? Well, maybe, hopefully his mic is working. But as far as that goes, so take a look at one of those things that we've talked about many, many times before, as we've seen and heard about with the gun laws that are out there. We've talked about.
Okay. President. All right. I'm sorry, I'm back. I was gone for a little bit. I was
okay.
Having problems again. Mm-hmm. K-Dog's on the line. K-Dog, take it away.
Hey, guys. Good evening, everyone.
Hey there. What's going on?
Well, I couldn't help but hear that you guys were talking about America's love affair with guns. Based on the speech that President Obama gave, which was a very, by the way, was a very heartfelt speech.
Yes.
Whether it was a very heartfelt speech where he spoke from the heart. He wasn't speaking as just the President of the United States, but also as a concerned parent and a concerned citizen about America's love affair with guns. We have to also figure out, we also have to look at the fight, this fight with gun laws, this fighting, fighting all these unsafe gun laws. If you want to trace this battle back, you have to look back at what happened in Columbine High School back in 1999, where two students were able to come inside of the school with high-powered weapons, killing 13 people, including teachers. I believe 12 students were killed. Also, a teacher was killed as well.
Yeah.
Now, with that being said, look at the record of mass shootings there have been. I mean, most of the shooters, and I'm glad you guys pointed out about the whole mental health issue, because most of the shooters that have participated in these shootings, the majority of them were classified as loners, mentally unstable, and or just, plain criminally minded, or they did it for a cause.
Yeah, I also don't want to give the impression to anybody that thinks that the only people that do this are the mentally ill, because
no,
that's definitely
not
the case. They're just some real evil people out there.
Yeah, because this is the evil that's going on. I mean, you have a huge amount of people out there who are criminally minded, who are just filled with evil thoughts, that would just walk into a place with a gun. And next thing you know, it's like gunfight at the OK Corral, where they're just shooting people at random. That was the same thing that happened with the LIRR massacre, if you remember that one.
Oh, yeah.
Where the guy just walked inside, where he was inside the train, and he just started shooting people at random.
Yeah, the infamous Colin Ferguson incident that happened.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Colin, it's continuing to happen. And this is why I applaud the president for speaking up against it, for speaking up for these gun laws. But once again, with the Republican Party, who have the NRA in their back pocket, they're just twisting everything around. They're going. I mean, the head of the NRA, one of the leaders, went on Fox News to say that, the president's trying to take our guns away, which is not true at all. There is no truth to that. As a man who studied the Constitution, you have to look at it. The Second Amendment is not being violated. There's no violation of that.
Exactly.
Hey,
time again.
You have another caller. Yeah. Caller, you're on the air.
Yeah, what up?
Hey, what's going on?
Hey, Mr. Sean Black, Mr. Hot Rod. What's going on?
Nothing much.
Oh, my gosh. I'm forgetting names right now. I'm sorry. The effects are overnight.
Hey, what's up, Brother B?
Hey, what's up, boss? What's going on?
Sean.
Do you think this new gun control law will work at all?
Listen, you want to talk about gun control? It's not. You can't talk about gun control without talking about people control. And when you have people out of line, you know what I'm saying? When you have a decline of the morals of society, what do you expect to happen? I mean, listen, we didn't make guns in terms of, like, if I have to get kind of specific, black people or people of ethnicity. We didn't make firearms. You know, firearms were made for warfare. And we're not the ones that's so much pressing the issue of war. Like, we're not the ones in fear. Like, people make certain things out of fear to protect themselves. It's like, how are military-grade weapons getting on the street? You know what I'm saying? Like, who are you really blaming? Who could you really blame for that? You can't blame the manufacturers. You know what I'm saying? And you can't, to a degree, you can blame the people, but the people are just doing what humans are doing what humans do. You know what I'm saying? And that's just that. So, like, how are these weapons getting here? There's a pipeline, obviously, from the top that you plug.
Yeah.
You know, so I don't know if it's really going to work. It's going to scare a couple of people, but is it really going to work? I really don't think so, because once again, I carry a firearm for a living. So my whole thing is, who are you really hurting? Because, like, when that whole Sandy Hook thing happened, that happened in Connecticut.
Mm-hmm.
Cuomo, last time I checked, he was the governor of New York. He implemented or tried to implement a rule for the state of New York that didn't even have nothing to do with this state. You know what I'm saying? But who's the ones that suffer? It's the people that legally carry that suffer. You know what I'm saying? The people with the good records, because the criminals are not going to say, oh, well, I'm only going to keep 7 rounds in my gun, in my magazine, because that's what Cuomo said, so we got to follow the rules. Yeah, okay.
Okay.
And that's one of the things that I brought up, is the fact that you have to make sure that the ones that abide by the rules, that know the responsibility of having a firearm, taking care of the firearm, taking care of the license to hold the firearm, and the safety and upkeep of the firearm, those are the ones that are going to basically lead the way and lead the charge of how to make sure that things get taken care of. And that's,
well, first of all, yeah. I mean, not to cut across, but, all right, they don't really do any psychological background checks on people that carry firearms.
No, they don't.
But on top of that, they don't really do proper background checks on people who get jobs in law enforcement. And look what they're doing. Mm-hmm. So it's like, what are they really saying about gun control? It only applies to the nuts that run up in a store or a movie theater and shoot up the place. It doesn't. You're trying to tell me it doesn't apply to the people who are sworn to protect the people, because some of them are wilding out too, you know. And
yeah, because
it's obvious out there.
You know the thing, and also sorry guys for interrupting, but however, it's like this. You know, owning a gun is a responsibility. It's a big responsibility. Am I right?
Mm-hmm.
Now,
To a degree, it is. It's because the
it
only
is.
Time you got to deal with the responsibility is carrying it, and you just have to know the laws. That's
right. But some people, unfortunately, who carry guns are not respecting the laws, because that's why we're having all these problems we're having now with all these shootings that have been happening. I mean, they did a study where they said that 30,000 Americans are killed each year by firearms, whether it's someone who is in a domestic dispute or a random shooting. I mean, it's just crazy that, you know, here in America, that we still have this love affair with guns, knowing the consequences that these guns are causing a lot of pain and death.
But of course, America has a love affair with firearms because they started it. Like,
yeah,
you know, this country was founded off violence, and if it ends, it's going to end the same way. All this is, like he said in the movie, the Malcolm X movie, this is just the chickens coming back home to roost. This is their own situation backfiring on them. That's all it is.
So
you can't sit there and be like, oh, guns are only going to be for law enforcement, and they're only going to be for military. You can't say that.
Because,
you know
in some states, This is the thing. In some states, they have absolutely no laws about guns, where even a five-year-old can carry a firearm.
That's crazy.
Yeah, even a five-year-old can carry a firearm.
It's only a problem. It's only a problem until someone gets hurt. That's the issue. It's only a problem until somebody gets hurt. And my thing is this. Who are the people that are really getting hurt? The people with the ill intentions? I mean, listen, look at all these movies. There's always some type of violent movie being put out. And, of course, there's always some uses of guns. And that's the love affair. Because it's not going to stop.
Yeah.
America is in love with violence. Drugs, sex, rock and roll, and violence. That's
but
what it is.
And the funny thing about that whole deal is we have more people that are upset over a naked breast on television.
Yeah.
Then someone getting their head blown off.
You can show somebody getting shot up, killed, murdered in the middle of the street in front of children on television. But if somebody pulls out a breast, it's over. I mean, this country has to get its priorities straight.
Yes,
because,
it does.
Because you know what, children, this is the thing. It's been going on for the longest because children have been exposed to it by watching violent cartoons. I mean, I was reading in a book the other day, and they were talking about the Bugs Bunny cartoons. Do you remember growing up, we all grew up watching Bugs Bunny? Like when Elmer Fudd would fire his gun at Daffy Duck and you'd see his bill turn around. Oh, wow, kids would think that would be fun. You know, some kids would go out there and say, would play cops and robbers and start pointing guns. But now these days, you have the video games that show the violence and children are playing it. And that's the scary part about it. You know, it's the love affair with violence.
Exactly. Well, because this is what is taught. This is what's ingrained in them. It's like, listen, back in the days when we were growing up, we would watch the A-Team and Knight Rider. First of all, Michael Knight was always getting hands on. That was one episode. That was one show where you never saw his character pick up a gun because he didn't like guns. So he would smack you in the face. He would knock you out or whatever. In the A-Team, you always saw them firing, but most of the time you saw somebody getting knocked out or tossed over something. No, you ain't see nobody get killed.
Exactly.
You ain't see no whole bunch of blood or nothing like that. Now, everybody has been desensitized because now they want to show bodies. They want to show all type of guts and gore and blood on TV. So it fascinates, you know, some of the weirdos out there, and they're like, wow. So I wonder what happened if I do it. Like, it's like Trump inciting the bigots. He's giving the bigots and the racists a platform. So when you start putting a certain amount of violence in front of people, you're giving these people with these intentions a platform to act out what they do.
Ideas.
Yeah, that's all it is.
Yeah.
Well, talk about violence and everything. I want to talk about this story that really pisses me off, what happened in Brooklyn, New York. The five teenagers that raped an 18-year-old woman in a park. But, ladies and gentlemen, there's a lot more stories, a lot more to the story that Sean and I found out today, that there was this father, 39 years old, with his 18-year-old daughter in a park in Brooklyn around 9 o'clock at night, Saturday night, I believe, drinking beers.
Exactly.
The father is, quote-unquote, could be drunk, but there was five teenagers, one of them carrying a gun, pointed towards the father, told him to get out of here. The father left, quote-unquote, looking for help. And the five teenagers, I don't know if five of them did it or one of them, raped the 18-year-old girl. Now, that sounds like a normal story, but here was Sean and I came up first. Why in the world a 39-year-old man would be drinking with his 18-year-old daughter in a park at 9-something at night?
Exactly.
In a bad neighborhood.
Yeah.
Well, can you answer that question for me?
Listen, honest with you, like, you know what I'm going to say is I don't know. Because you know what? I don't trust the news. I don't trust the media. You know, I don't know the real story of what happened. The only thing that seems like is certain in the story is that this girl got raped by five dudes. Like, you know what I'm saying? I don't know if that was really her father. I don't know what the case was. If that was the case, he need to get his ass whipped. That's number one. Number two, how could you just leave your daughter? Like, I'm taking a bullet, kid.
Exactly.
You're not gonna just tell me to walk away. Like, I'm gonna take a bullet. Like, somebody's going out.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think that's what the argument that most people have. Like, did a father do the right thing by leaving his daughter behind to go get help, or she had to stay and try to fight them off or take the bullet? As brother, you're a father of a wonderful daughter. I'm gonna have a daughter myself in a couple of weeks. God,
and you know what? I'm gonna tell you. Sidebar: one boy is the one thing. I don't have a little boy, but yo, that little girl, when he's daddy's girl, gonna turn you into a monster.
Here's the scariest part about the whole story. The scariest part about this was that four of those five suspects are 17 years old and under. 14,
yeah.
15, 15, and 17.
And from what I heard is that two of the younger suspects, their parents turned them in.
That is to me,
yeah,
very troubling.
It is.
The fact that that was the case, as you stated, a father has a gun put in his face. He said, look, you either get out or you die. I'm sorry. If I take one of you guys out, then that's what I'm going to do. If I end up getting killed, at least I know I went to defend my daughter from whatever is going on.
Exactly. Go on fighting.
But also at the same time, we also don't know what his mindset is, as we just stated. He was drunk. This whole story is just troubling.
The store owner said like this, that when he ran in to ask for the phone, he noticed that the guy was drunk and he didn't want to give him the phone. But then he said he later regretted that he didn't give him the phone because the father was out of it.
And
that's
part of the problem.
Or looking strange because, you know, when you're drunk, I mean, people, let's face it, you become like this.
Your judgment is impaired.
It's gone. Your judgment is gone.
Well, so in that case, So for me, guys, I kind of like defend the father's action a little bit. Because at least despite what he did earlier with Uber drinking with his daughter in the park, it was a poor judgment. But if, you know, I'm a number one drunk. There's no question about that. And yes, I would do anything to protect my daughter. But at least he went out to go get help. And he's alive right now to see his daughter for another day.
Yeah,
mostly
but now he has to live with that.
But now he has to live with that
the fact that she got raped.
And the daughter's traumatized for the rest of her life.
Exactly.
That's the sad part about it.
But at least they're traumatized. So what's better off, being dead or being traumatized?
Listen, if I'm dead, I don't know. If I'm dead, I don't know. And my whole thing is
exactly.
At least if I'm dying, because first of all, once that shot ran, once they shoot me, they running. So my daughter's already in the clear.
Especially with the young age of these people that are allegedly involved in this. They're all they're just barely teenagers. I mean, this is ridiculous. And the fact that
outrage.
Even let's say that all of this is 100% true. We're talking about four kids who are now ruined for the rest of their lives because of one of the more disgusting, egregious crimes anybody can perpetrate on anybody, and that is rape. In a children's playground, mind you, all of the parallels that are going to be even more traumatizing to all of the people involved. And then you have to worry about the bad judgment of the father who decided, my daughter is of age now. We're just going to hang out and get drunk.
And that makes no that was bad parenting on that, but the fact that this young girl went through a horrifying experience like that, getting raped, gang raped at this point, I mean, it's just the whole situation, the whole story to me is just troubling, and it seems that there's more things that are being told about it. There's more things that's being added. that's even more troubling. It's very disturbing.
So,
if there's a rape going on in a park, where is the neighborhood? Well, apparently we know the neighborhood very well. It's a dark area. So you told me someone did not hear any screaming? It took
exactly
about 20 minutes?
Even more so, they might have heard screaming, but as we have seen many, many, many times in the past, if I didn't hear it, I can't be a witness to it. Nobody can come after me if I'm found out that I saw this. And
exactly,
that's where a lot of people get into.
All you have to do is call 911. They say there's something going on Weatherby Street and Hot Rods Avenue. That's it.
Yeah, but you know what? Some of those calls are traced, and some people just don't. They don't want to be involved. They don't want somebody coming back to them, and it's just sad that people don't put the H on their chest and handle certain things just for the benefit of human beings.
Exactly.
I mean, my problem is this, and you know, I hope one of you guys is calling this week, because I'm really about to have a real explosive discussion on the menu about the justice system.
Mm-hmm.
My issue is this. You look at other countries. You don't get always three hots in the cot. You don't get no good medical. You don't get no nice, comfortable bed to sit on and TV and all this and that. In other countries, when you go to jail, they put you on a floor with the rats.
Exactly.
They make jail, and this system, this country makes it too comfortable
to
do crime.
Exactly, like jail is a luxury.
They make being a criminal comfortable.
Yeah.
So
for those
course,
people that have heard the expression of club fed, where you get into certain federal prisons, and because of the severity of the crime, you're in an area that's like minimal security, you got cable television,
You got a free gym. You got everything.
Gym. You got almost gourmet food. You know,
exactly.
It's ridiculous.
But
yeah, it is.
But I bet you, if they started, you sleep on the floor, rats running across you. Your diet is oatmeal and bread. You get oatmeal in the morning. You get a piece of stale chicken and for lunch, and for dinner you get a tuna fish sandwich. So I bet you, but of course you have too many liberal rights who say, oh, you can't treat them like this. They're criminals.
Exactly.
You should
you
be
able
treat
to
treat
them
how
like
yeah.
Yeah. Listen. You do a crime. You rape a little kid, or you rape like that. Little 15-year-old. Listen. Let me tell you something. Come to my jail. If I had a jail, come to my jail. You will never do crime again. You would never do. I have you picking rocks out your asshole. It wouldn't go down like that. You'd be eating tuna fish every day.
You know,
and I wouldn't even give you a can opener.
You know, in some countries, when you commit such a crime, you are tortured and castrated. They will do things to you that will make you wish you were dead. They practically,
For those that want to really get an idea of what could happen, I suggest anybody that's listening to watch that movie Midnight Express.
Yeah.
Which is about a man from the United States that was charged with smuggling hash out of Turkey and was caught and was tortured in their jails for a very long time before he was able to actually get out of jail. So it could be much worse. And we're not talking about, what you see on Cops.
Yeah.
We're talking about what you see in
real life.
Exactly.
Like, you go to jail in America, listen, you got the best medical, you're eating good, and you're living rent-free.
Exactly. And you know what else? You get the luxury that you want.
And people that are so you have people who work in 12, 14 hours a day who can't afford a meal, but they're too busy paying bills and paying taxes.
Yep.
I want you to think about
that.
Exactly.
Think about this, Hot Rod. There are elderly people who have paid their debt to society, working and doing all kinds of things, and they have a house, mortgage, whatever. And because of the what money they're not making, they have to choose between eating and medicine. Whereas somebody that would actually go and kill that same woman would actually get better health, food, shelter than that woman who paid her debt. Just think about how warped that sounds in comparison.
It is.
It's a shame. It's a shame that this is going on right here in the United States of America, where you have people who are struggling to eat. You have the elderly. The elderly, they're suffering more than anything because some of them cannot even afford to stay in their homes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, exactly. They have these, you know, and you have single parents out there who are struggling. You have families out there who are struggling, trying to make ends meet, but yet the jail system, oh, they're living the life of Riley up in there. It's a shame.
It
is a shame. So for these five teenagers that's underage, what do you think is the best solution to handle this? Or go to jail and be locked away forever? Or go to a special program first?
Well, a lot of the reasons why these teenagers, what you hear about such a young age, is because they didn't have certain advantages given to them, or they weren't taken if they were offered to them.
Exactly.
Maybe we don't know if they're fatherless, motherless.
We don't know
any of that stuff.
You cannot make excuses. Of
oh, no, I'm not giving excuses. These are facts as far as certain situations. Now, if that is the case, is that an excuse for them to get away? Well, then hell no. But at the same time, we have to also recognize that there are a lot of these kids, 15, 16, 17 years old, that don't get the same kind of treatment because they don't have a father now. They don't have a mother in the house. They don't have the tools necessary to go to, let's say, let's go to the YMCA, and then we can have people with programs to help in the city get people out of that mindset of, I need to be in the gang, I need to be in the street. That has to be taken care of. Those opportunities for a lot of kids aren't there. So that has to be a factor as well. And fixing that is the problem. Getting them to making a bridge to get to the programs is the other thing that has to be done.
Exactly.
Yeah, well,
it's not a sad thing.
What's also a sad thing is places like or businesses, because we all know America is just nothing but a big corporation. That's all about. It's not about people. It's about the business. And you look at ACS, you know what I'm saying? You look at all these rules that they have where you can't beat your kid, you can't discipline your kid, you can't do this, you can't. First of all, that's where a lot of it starts. Because I'm telling you right now, ass whipping ain't never killed me, and I'm sure it didn't kill any of y'all.
Nope, it didn't.
And
you know what I'm saying?
As a matter of fact, you know what? When you got disciplined, when you had that harsh discipline, it made you a better person because whatever wrong you did, you knew to never do that wrong again. And it stays with you even when you're an adult because you'll know when you did something wrong,
my final thought on that whole deal is, as far as why people do this, is a quote that I've said before that came from The Dark Knight. Some people just want to watch the world burn.
Exactly.
That's the factor that to put in there as well.
This is the world that we live in now. This is the world that we live in where, you know, whatever is evil is seen as glamorous. Evil is looked upon as glamorous. I hate to say it, but it's true.
Well, but like I said, if you look how this country started, how do you expect it to not be glorified? How do you expect it to not come into play?
Exactly.
I mean, look who was sent up. Listen, wasn't it the pilgrims, the so-called pilgrims, weren't they, like, cast out of England, out of Europe? Because there was a lot of them that came over here were murderers and thieves themselves. You know what I'm saying?
So look, Columbus.
So look what the country was found on. So what you expect is nothing but a continuation of how it started. They came here, they slaughtered the Indians. I mean, I hate to keep going back on that, but you got to go back to the beginning to see how it is in the middle or the end of the show. And this is how it started. So it was like, what do you expect people to do if they're reading history books and they're talking about how they did this and how this was done and how that was done? Once again, you're fueling violence. You're fueling violence because you're not trying to curb it. You don't hear,
course,
you don't see commercials out there saying, "Oh, stop the gun violence." I remember the commercials back in the days where somebody put two eggs in a frying pan. If somebody said, "This is the egg, this is drugs.
Does your brain,
this is your brain on drugs?"
Brain on
they
drugs,
don't do
right.
that no more. They don't do that no more because you know what?
And
drugs
that's
a big business.
And guess what? Now, you know, with the gun situation, you do have some A-list celebrities who are joining the cause, but, you know, no one's listening to them because everyone's like, oh, you know, they're on this mission of trying to take guns away. I'm like, you know, this whole thing about taking guns away, that is the complete false. I mean, why would
well, to a degree, to a degree, once again, to a degree it is because, like I said, and prime example, Sandy Hook was in Connecticut. Cuomo
yeah.
is the governor of New York State. How do you try to pass a law? Basically, it didn't happen in your state. That's like a fight breaking out in somebody else's house and you beating your kid. It didn't happen here. So why are you trying to pass a law to only stifle the good people? So you tell me that I can only have 7 rounds in my magazine or my gun as a whole.
Mm-hmm.
So 1 in the head, 7 and 6 in the mag. Okay. So when I'm at work, God forbid a terrorist threat or something happens, you think they're abiding by that 7-round rule? No.
Yeah.
So I'm thinking
nope.
about me. I'm thinking about my coworkers. I'm thinking about people in the building that I got to protect. But yet you want to handcuff me and give them freedom to do what they want to do. It doesn't make sense. So when they say, so when some people have that fear of them taking away a gun, yes, because all it's going to do is only going to hurt the law-abiding citizens. It's not going to hurt the criminals because the criminals don't care. The thing is, you need to put stiffer penalties on the criminals. What you need to do is find that pipeline of individuals who are just letting these guns get out into the street. But they don't want to talk about that.
Oh,
they don't want to talk about how
no,
they're not
smuggling.
Because, once again, listen, did anybody here see Sicario?
No,
no,
I haven't. I've heard it's a good movie.
Oh, yes. See it. Because it just basically tells you, bro, we can talk gun stuff all in the face, but you know what? It is what it is. It's not going to stop. It's a machine. It's not
because,
gonna stop.
Like I said, don't forget the NRA has Washington in their back pockets. All right, guys, that's what I got to say.
But once again, look who Washington is. Those are the good old boys. They go out shooting, too. Nobody
yeah.
said anything about gun control when he so-called peppered. when Dick Cheney peppered that dude while he was hunting. Like, nobody said anything about gun control then.
Well,
but it's okay.
Who put the people in power? We did, right?
Exactly.
To be honest.
Well, so you would think.
Yeah, exactly. Because
with our
yeah.
voting system, quote unquote, God knows how rigged our voting system is, but technically speaking, we put these people in by voting for them, give or take.
Yeah. Yeah.
But talk about voting, talk about Mexicans, and a chapo got captured. But
Trump.
It was interviewed by Sean Penn. How in the world did Sean Penn got an interview with El Chapo and the authorities and the Mexican government been looking for him for all this time?
Go figure. And apparently
yeah.
it was brokered by a Mexican actress who
yes,
kind
was.
Of helped Sean Penn get this going. So you got connections
yeah.
in Hollywood. It's proven that Hollywood can get something going if they get their minds and their money together in one particular instance. They can get
yeah.
anything going. We know that.
Exactly. So
yeah.
They can. If they could put money out there and get it, they'll do it. Trust me.
Well, the dude wanted the story of he wanted to see his story on the big screen.
Oh, yeah.
So,
yeah.
Course,
make
a movie
so
out.
You know. He, yeah,
so, of course,
like,
he called Sean Penn. Sean Penn did the interview with him. And I mean, it's a lot of things going on, man. I mean, today I saw how they, the army, the Mexican military, barged in and busted El Chapo. It was a very big, with grenades and everything.
Well, it was only a big story because, like I said, Trump is happy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Trump I wonder why.
He probably got caught. But that's about it. But my whole thing is, yo, listen, you think he can't dig another hole and get out again?
Easily.
Well,
yeah,
they were talking about that on the news, actually, about him potentially buying his way out of prison.
And he could.
Yeah, why not?
Exactly.
But Sean Black, who do you think is more corrupt and more evil, the Mexican government or El Chapo? But to some people, El Chapo is a hero.
Yeah, but then a lot of people are going to think that they're probably in cahoots on some level. It depends on who you ask, and it depends on where the money trail starts and stops. We know that a lot of the drugs that come into the United States has been smuggled through a lot of cartels in Mexico and get distributed throughout the United States into other countries. I believe that's where a big majority of the illegal drugs on the street are coming from. So somebody like Donald Trump, who already has racist tendencies, is going to use that as some kind of a fear factor to scare people into getting his agenda across.
Brother, that's why I say you've got to watch Sicario. You have to watch the Sicario.
Sicario, I gotta check it out.
Yeah,
Sicario. Basically, it just lets you know what the real game is.
Mm.
It is, because you know what? When in the grand scheme of things, El Chapo is just a cog in the wheel.
Mm.
A cog in the machine. I mean, because look what happened with Saddam.
Well, of course.
You removed him and you destabilized the whole region, and now look what you have. Otherwise, ISIS and Al-Qaeda, none of them existed until they removed Saddam. So who knows what happens? You remove El Chapo, and then what pops up next? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Yep. So it's like, all I got to say is just get ready for the next chapter.
Yeah, exactly. That's all it is, because there's going to be somebody that's looking to take his place. There's always going to be somebody. I'm going to be bigger than El Chapo. I'm going to be this.
Well, I think it's his kingpin credit, because he is a very rich kingpin, and he really got it together up in Mexico, that he's more powerful than the Mexican government themselves. Go figure.
Exactly.
And they don't like that. And they don't like that.
Nope, they really don't.
But if the Mexican government took care of the people, who, once again, we all can agree, and Sean Black says this all the time, money talk and BS walk.
You're right.
And Chapo takes care of the people.
Oh, there's no lie about that.
Who do you want to work for?
You know,
El Chapo with guaranteed money or the government?
Exactly.
You know, let's just talk about outlaws. I mean, let's face it, throughout, you know, we read stories about outlaws. I mean, like, he was like a Robin Hood. I mean, Robin Hood, what was his thing? He was an outlaw, but he stole from the rich and gave to the poor. That's the whole thing that's going on.
But it was only a crime. It was a crime because he stole from the rich.
Yeah, he stole from
the
rich. Yeah, that's why they considered him an outlaw, because, you know, especially the rich were exploiting people. So guess what? Hey, I'm going to steal from the rich and give to the needy. So that's what's up. That's how some people view these criminals.
But unfortunately, with part of the job as being a drug kingpin, you have to kill people because you have to watch your money. Your stash. You got to watch your goods.
So what makes the government of this country or other countries any different from what El Chapo is doing? Like, if they put like this, what does this country do? Look, listen, if you're not down with the agenda, you got to go.
Mm-hmm.
They invade your country. Be like, hey, listen, we need something that your country got. Either you cut us some, you know, you let us in the deal, or we got to come get you. Oh, no, you're not messing with. Okay, well,
we'll bring it down by any means necessary. That's
exactly. Exactly. They're going to get, listen, this is America, a.k.a. gangster. That's what it is. They want to talk about everybody else, but the country is gangster. That's all it is. They'll destroy you, and then they'll be like, all right. But it's like me going in somebody's house and sleeping with their wife and be like, all right, check this out. I'm going to pay your rent. I'm going to pay your rent, and I'm going to buy you a new shirt, homie. Thanks for letting me sleep with your wife.
Wow.
you
can't.
You know what I'm saying?
I don't mind it.
It's a word for that.
Welcome to the corruption.
But if you meet the person that does that, they'll probably be on Maury Povich tomorrow.
Oh, my goodness, yep.
Exactly, but that's what it is, man. They go somewhere.
People would sell their own kids for money.
Yeah.
What they do anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah, they
anything
will.
Anything for the almighty dollar.
And Hot Rod and I actually know somebody that actually would have Maury Povich on speed dial real quick.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Like money, my whole attitude is this. You know, I don't live for the money, but money does have a strong say in how I live and how everybody lives. You don't have to live for it, but we live in a world where you need to utilize money to do X, Y, and Z. It costs. Everything costs.
Oh, that definitely dictates
that's
what everybody does.
Yeah, and that's the issue. But I don't...
You know, it's all about the money, man. At the end of the day, that's what people live for. I mean, they will kill and die for that money.
For instance, look at what's happening on a global scale money-wise. Look at what's happened to China.
Yeah.
China is going through a lot of a devaluation of their money, and that's affecting the world economy. China's the second largest country in the world as far as the economy goes. And what happens there affects everybody.
Yeah, and you know
what? And if you looked at last week, the stocks, the stock market was just losing. I think they lost well over 1,000 points in 1 week.
Yeah, they did. They did. And you know what? It's not getting better. I mean, you know, another downturn.
Oh, it'll stabilize. It'll get better. It's just that shows you what, as far as money goes, in the hands of the wrong people, what it could do to the economy.
Exactly.
Listen, I was, you know, it should just go, like, I'm a Trekkie. So, you know, I like Star Trek. And in Star Trek, what happens, the society on planet Earth, there's no such thing as money anymore.
Mm.
Like, everything is just, like, free. And it's like, yo, because nobody's trying to capitalize off of anyone else. Because I guess so far in the future, they realize it doesn't work. I don't ever see this happening in real life. But it's like, yo, money really doesn't make sense. Like, it's a piece of paper. Like, I don't understand how we put so much power in a piece of paper.
Exactly.
Like,
well, it's
people. But yeah, it's not
it's
only
just
the people
in general.
But that's the thing. Like, we're so much on a subconscious level. Like, we're not even trying to rise to the upper floors. Like, we stay on the sub. We're not going to the upper floors mentally and seeing things for what they really are. That's why it's so much hate and violence going on, because, like, look at this Powerball thing. Oh, man, like, you know, I was even talking about it at work. That
People are losing their minds over this, okay?
Oh, yeah.
They're really losing their minds.
And
they're
know the only people that are going to make money off of this whole deal are the people that are getting 10% of the winnings, depending on who wins, and the government.
Exactly.
After taxes.
True, but guys, as Brother B says, I think about this all the time, how we all kill ourselves, work hard, kill people for a piece of paper. And, you know, but we all been brainwashed to that certain level. We all working hard for a piece of paper, nothing more, nothing less. Why?
Right.
To buy hoverboards or sneakers or put food on a table. We cannot do a trading or anything. We kill ourselves for a piece of paper. You, no matter what, you go to a store, you see a tip jar, I'm like, why do you need a tip jar for? You know, I go to the check cash place to pay bills. There's a tip jar there. Wait, I'm paying my bill. Are you asking for a tip?
Don't drink and drive. Don't drink and drive.
Don't drink and drive, brother.
You know what I'm saying? I mean, it's sad because it's like
money rules everything around me.
Yeah,
that's
but
the
what,
whole
like, model. Like, what is your life worth? It's like people's lives aren't worth anything anymore because there's certain things that take more precedent, and that's what I find so appalling about.
You know, some people. Let me just say this. Pardon for interrupting, but you look at millionaires. Don't you see millionaires? Some rich people are never satisfied. They could have they could be billionaires, billions and billions of dollars, live in the nicest house, drive the finest cars, could go anywhere around the world, but yet they're still not satisfied. They're still not happy with what they have.
That's why millionaires and billionaires will always stay millionaires and billionaires, because they're never satisfied with the amount of money that they have. If they're making $50, they want to learn how they can make $51. It happens all the time.
Because they're not spiritually at peace.
No,
and
they're not.
And
you know what? They're unhappy. They're unhappy because, you know what? They have nobody real around them because, hey, people are going to hang around that person because, hey, that person has money. They could do a lot for me. But they're not going to, you know, ever be happy.
But some of those people, that's why they continue to make that amount of money, because they know that's the only way. They got to buy friends. You know what I'm saying? Like,
money,
you ever heard that joke? Your mother's so ugly that they had to put a pork chop on her just so the dog would play with her. That's how some dudes are.
That's how some people are.
Like, they got to have money.
No.
They got to have money.
And you know what it is? It's like this. You know, it's like money could buy, in their belief, money buys them happiness. It makes them happy. But at the same time, they're not happy. They're miserable.
Of course.
So, here's my final question. Will you guys play the Powerball? And if you do, and let's say you win, what will you do with the money right away? Sean Black.
Well, I'm definitely not playing Powerball. I've always thought that the lottery was a huge scam because the odds are so much against you. It's like 1 in 226 million to 1 odds. So.
I have a new caller? Hello, caller, you're on the air.
Well.
Oh, of course, God forbid.
Oh, man, we're about to.
It was 18 minutes left, go figure.
Of course, I'm the closer. You know what I'm saying? It's my animal rubber. I come in, I finish it off, that's all.
It's the eighth inning, let him go in and see what he does, you know?
Okay, after that. Take it away. Piss me off. Go ahead.
Of course, you know that I piss you off. I mean, you talk about the lottery. Of course, it's set up. But listen, can I spend $4 on a couple Powerball tickets? Why not? See, if you spend like $100, the whole check on Powerball, you're an asshole, obviously.
That's
part of
the problem.
If you spend a couple of dollars, $2, $4, $6, why not?
Yeah. I know there was a picture of somebody walking around with like $1,000 worth of Powerball tickets last week. Just sitting in a car with gold teeth in his mouth and a handful of tickets. I'm like, really?
See, that's what you call a coon, but you know it is what it is.
But if you're gonna do that,
you run around with gold teeth in your mouth. And you spent some $1,000 on lottery tickets?
That's probably damn
money. No, you know what? I'm not gonna call him a coon.
That's the definition of a coon.
You know, I'm not gonna call him a coon. You know why? Because this person's a fool for doing that.
Well, being a coon is a fool too.
Let's just call him a fool because you know what?
When it comes to
the whole thing about the lottery. I mean, there are people out there, like you see this whole Powerball thing, people are running out there. You know, garbage. But then after, you have some people out there. This morning I was watching on the news. People are driving to the store, standing on long lines, ready to buy a ticket. Some people are going to spend $100. For a lottery ticket.
It's just as crazy as people standing on the lines waiting for sneakers, or just as silly as people standing on lines for the Star Wars movie.
You know,
the thing is, if you're spending all that money on the lottery, and you know, I mean, okay, let's just say you win it, or let's just say you don't. You know what? You're wasting your money, man. You're wasting your money.
Well, first of all, if you got $1,000 to spend on tickets, be smart about it. Like I'm gonna drive around each borough, and I'm gonna play in multiple stores. I might just go out of state because if you're gonna spend that much money, you might as well widen the net. Instead of spending that all in one spot,
some people are actually spending $200 worth of tickets.
Yeah.
And you know what's sad? I've seen it. I've seen it on the news. You see it in the stores. I mean, they will hold up a line inside of a store just to buy a ticket. I'm like, wow, this is crazy, man.
Well, the majority of the winners for the Powerball, I think the last two or three winners have been from Pennsylvania. So
yeah,
nobody in New York is winning the Powerball, that's for sure.
So, all right, so we're going to PA tomorrow, right? We're going to go all straight down to PA, try to win something.
Road trip, right?
No problem. No problem.
All right,
people
guys.
Out there.
Well, anyway, I just want to leave you guys with a final thought. Hot Rod, well, you know, I got to go. But anyway, I just want to say this, is that as for the gun situation, we need better laws, but we don't see that change coming anytime soon. And as for the father who was drunk with his daughter and allowed that rape to happen, that to me is just, there's more to the story than it is.
Mm-hmm.
And guys, since we're talking about this lottery, I think people who buy the lottery are out of their minds. That's all I got to say. Peace out, brother.
Oh. All right, Kato, thank you, I guess.
All right.
Okay. Yeah, well, man,
okay, Milton, I know you got a lot to say, so you got 4 minutes. Entertain me.
All right, first of all, if you miss your time on lottery, you're a damn fool. That just orders to it. You know what I'm saying?
Why? You don't play the lottery?
I play 2-4 hours at the most. When you spend $100,000 or $1,000 on that shit, you use your damn asshole. That just orders to it. Also, more importantly, though, if you remember the Eric Garner case, right? Apparently, the black female sergeant that was there, she ended up getting charged and, you know, getting her gun took away and basically fired out of here.
So I think that you'll be calling into my show on Thursday because we definitely going to be heavy on that.
You know what I'm saying? Listen, I'll be in on that because, yo, how the hell you going to be charging her when she ain't did shit and you're going to not charge the people that choked them out?
Yo, you gotta love the justice system. You gotta love America justice.
Man, there ain't no justice system. It's white supremacy, dog.
That's all that shit is. You gotta love it because they saying, listen, I'm gonna put this piece of doo doo in your face and I'm gonna make you smell it. I'm gonna let you know right now. I'm not charging that white boy. I'm gonna charge her.
Charge the black. And so what
you know why?
Does?
Because she should have controlled this. That's what they're gonna say. Well, she should have controlled the scene.
Yeah, like she had a chance to hell controlling all them white boys over there. Shit.
We know that.
You just be with that bullshit. But see what that is? That's a smack in the face of every black police officer out there. Because that blue war, from all that blue guys matter bullshit. Blue lives matter don't matter if they black. So any like black police officers are out there got to take a hard look at that shit.
Okay.
You
have
to do the reality of the game.
All right. Okay, Brother B, what's on your chest lately?
Well, all I got to say is, listen, I need a drink.
See, that's what's on your mind, huh?
Yeah, I need a drink. I need a drink. It's you know what? A lot of this stuff, if you think about it too much, will drive you crazy. You're talking about a father who bails on his daughter in a park and she gets raped by a bunch of 15-year-olds. Okay. And then you're talking about this whole thing with this El Chapo. All right, who cares? And then we're looking at... what was the other situation talking about?
Oh, Powerball and
oh yeah,
the
gun laws. Listen, gun laws is not going to change. The gun laws, they ain't going to change. And if they do change, all they're going to do is hurt the law-abiding citizens because those are the people who follow the rules. It's not going to hurt the people that break the rules. It's going to hurt. And until you get to the root of the corruption, then nothing's going to change. Everything is still going to happen. America is violent. It's going to continue to be violent, and that's just what it is. And like I said, it just makes you at the end of the night just say, I need a drink. And that's that.
Don't worry. I will fix that for you, because I got some good leftovers from a party. A lot of liquor left over.
I'm sure.
What? I'm shocked. It's an alcoholic ass.
You know, the reason why there was some alcohol left over because Milton is going to make it to the party, too, so that's why.
Yeah, that's a good point. That's a good point.
Yeah. That would have been what was left for you.
Oh, yeah, pretty much.
But, Brother B, most of that, thank you so much for calling in. And as always, the pleasure was all yours. Can't wait to do this again next week.
All right, brother.
Yes.
Yeah, guys. Everybody have a good night.
You too.
Thank you.
Have a good night. All right.
Later. Bye. Okay, Sean Black, are you still there?
Yes, I'm still here.
Okay. Later, I'd like to end the night with a sports question.
Okay.
Okay, this past, what was it, Saturday? Or no, was it Sunday? No, Sunday. We saw one of the biggest choke of the year, the Minnesota Vikings, with a kicker who was 26 yards away of kicking a field goal to win the game for Minnesota. How stressful watching football as a fan?
Oh, boy. The best way that I can describe that.
You can imagine the pain the Minnesota fans went through and the players went through at that moment. People are saying, yes, football is just a game or sports is a sport. We are not the players. We don't make their money. But how stressful sports or football in general is overall?
Yeah. If you are a fan of a team, I mean, a diehard fan, one that not a casual fan at all. I don't have a problem if they win or lose. No, if you have tattoos of your team on your body, you have contact lenses with the team logo on it that you put in your eyes religiously. If you're one of those diehard types and you have a team that you root for that has not won in years and years and years and years, and you see them lose in that fashion, that's why you hear the trucks outside. That's probably for the fans that is what happened on Sunday. If you are a diehard fan and you know as a fan that you see your beloved team that you invest your emotions into, when a particular player gets traded, you get upset. If your team loses, you cry. You throw things at the television. You just become a miserable person to be around for a certain amount of time. There are some instances in certain sports fans' lives that you cannot speak of around them without eliciting an emotional response, or in some instances, we're going to have to fight. You can't keep talking about such and such and such. We're going to have to fight. That only in sports can that happen.
And that's why we talk about it on this show from time to time, because stress and sports is very real. It could lead to depression, too. And that's why I asked your question, because, ladies and gentlemen, if you don't watch football, but as Sean said, as your favorite team, they just need this one try, and then miss to gain the extra point. And you're like this close, you will become very upset, depressed, angry. First thing, when we saw this play yesterday, Sean and I text each other. We all bust other friends. Like, do you see that? You saw that?
Exactly.
Do you believe that? Like, but as Sean would say, that's why we watch football, because you never know what could happen.
Exactly.
The unexpected, anything could happen. And if I won the Powerball, I'm not going to lie, I'll go to play tomorrow. And if I win, it's very easy. What I will do with the money, give my children whatever, give baby mama drama whatever, get out of my face. I'm going to Brazil, drink, have sex, and die.
Which will probably happen all in about 2 minutes after you get there.
Of course. But at least I will die happy.
Oh, boy.
Okay, Sean Black, final thoughts.
My final thought is that we already started the new year and we've gotten so many crazy things that have happened. We got what's happened with the stock market going up and down, mostly on the heels of what's happening in China. We got what we just talked about earlier today with President Obama starting his final 12 months as President of the United States. I think that we can come to the conclusion that this year is going to be probably just as memorable as last year. But I hope that something positive happens. And just in that small sense, let's just hope that something positive happens.
You hope. Unfortunately, with good, there's bad. And when there's bad, there's good. Well, We cover a lot of topics, and I want this to be an hour show. I hate when you guys do this to me.
Yeah. Remember this. I want you to remember this thing. Like I said before, I hope this year. My uncle used to tell me you can hope in one hand and take a dump in the other, and only one hand is going to get filled. So you can see where that's going.
Yeah, we're full of crap. That's where we are.
Exactly.
But I want to take this opportunity to give a special shout out to a few people. Anitra B, Sean
yeah.
Black, K-Dog, our drunken producer. I don't want to say his full name. Charlie from Jersey, my brothers and other people who helped me out this past weekend. Well, help me do one of the best and biggest baby showers of 2015 already. Guys, thank you so much. We pulled it off again. The baby shower that I did for my daughter and my baby mama drama was a blast. Everybody had a good time. And, yes, yours truly, the host with the most, was drunk.
Of course.
And my producer of the show, he was a bartender. He did a great job, and he did not get too drunk.
Not
yeah,
too
right.
drunk, just drunk enough.
Yeah, drunk enough. But like I said, you know, K-Dog, Anitra B, Sean Black, and other people, thank you so much for making this night special for my baby mama drama and for myself as well. Thank you.
Yes.
All right. I think that's it. I have to go have a drink myself.
Of course.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for listening to another edition of the Absolute Truth Show. Right here on Blog Talk Radio. I'm your host, with the most, the king of king himself, the master of ceremonies. I am the Hot Rod. And on the phone line, I have the one, the only.
It is Sean Black, leaving the building.
And Anitra B, we miss you.
Yes.
Have a good night, everyone. And as always, the pleasure was all
yours.
Peace out, Sean Black.
Yes, sir. And I will see you next week.
All right.